And now, honey, with the letters, go right ahead. Mrs. Fuller.
Greetings, friends, from California. Dear Dr. Fuller, 2 days ago we buried our precious little 2-year-old daughter in Fresno. The enclosed check is the tithe of her savings account. We never tithed on it before, as we wanted to teach her to tithe on her own. We do not know why God took this ray of sunshine out of our lives, but we still have faith, believing that all things work together for good. Her favorite song was Heavenly Sunshine, and it was played at her funeral service. May this little gift from our little daughter be used to send heavenly sunshine out over the world. And friends, let us pray that the God of all comfort may sustain in the most unusual way these dear children of his so yielded to his will. From a serviceman in the Philippines, dear Reverend Fuller, while tuning in on the receivers and transmitters here at the Army Air Force radio station tonight, how surprised and delighted I was to pick up the familiar voices of the Fuller Hour. I used to listen regularly in the States and feast on your messages and revel in the fine music. It was a great treat to me to hear this favorite program again, for it has been one of the things that I have missed most since leaving the States. I enjoyed every song and every word of the sermon, and it brought back memories of home. I had to ask a buddy to take a message on one of the receivers so that I might not have to miss 1 second of the program. I think people far away from home enjoy it more than anyone else. From Arkansas, dear Brother Fuller, some months ago I wrote and asked prayers for my husband, and I want you to know that they were answered. My husband died in April, but thank God he was saved 7 months before God called him home. Your program was the only one that he would listen to, and as we all prayed, you preached, and the Holy Spirit drew him to God. It was so hard to give him up, but it was a wonderful thing, after hours of prayer, to be completely and wholly submissive to God and be able to say, "Not my will, but thine be done." I loved my husband so much, but I know now what Scripture means when it says, "My grace is sufficient for you." This last letter is from Philadelphia. Dear Reverend Fuller, you will never know how thrilled I was to hear your voice come over the radio while riding on a train going from the West Coast to the East Coast on Sunday, August the 31st. That train is called the Empire Builder, and as we were nearing Chicago, some jazz was blaring out on the radio. When it went off, I was so surprised to hear your program come on. I sat and held my breath for a moment for fear that they would turn the radio off or change the program. But instead, people settled down in their seats and all became still, and everybody seemed to enjoy it. The little boy sitting next to me was humming the hymns that were sung, and I bowed my head and prayed that the program might be a blessing and remain on. It did, for all but about 6 minutes, when we were nearing Union Station and people were getting ready to get off. My prayer is that people may often have the privilege of hearing you on the Empire Builder, as I did. And that is all I shall have time for today, friends. I have some good letters for you today, friends. From Massachusetts, a man writes an interesting letter. Dear Dr. Fuller, on August the 2nd of this year, while motoring from Venice, Italy, to Mestor, with 2 Christian friends from Egypt, we turned on our radio. We heard your voice very clearly giving forth the word of God. That and the singing made my heart beat faster, for it brought us near to home. We all joined in the singing of hymns with you. It was thrilling to be halfway around the world and in a strange country, and to hear a familiar voice coming out of the darkness and warming our hearts. May you continue with the success for God. A man writes, "Dear Mr. Fuller, I've been wanting to write a word of testimony for some time, so at this Thanksgiving season I shall do so. When Christ first saw fit to save me, I was a drunkard, a libertine, the most wretched of sinners. I was hopelessly staring the very pit of hell in the face and contemplated suicide. Since then I have become a new person and have recovered a measure of respectability. The church has seen fit to elect me an elder. My wife is a Sunday school superintendent. Both our young daughters have accepted Christ, and I think my young son will soon. What blessings! If I seem to boast, I am boasting in Christ for what he has done for me and mine and will do for anyone who will surrender his life to him. All these things have taken place in the short space of 2 years. This last letter is from Fairbanks, Alaska. A nurse writes of what the hour means to her there in her loneliness. Dear Reverend Fuller, every Sunday morning one of our radio stations comes on with the dear old-fashioned revival hour. When I first got here, I looked in the papers right away to see when your program came on. And when I found I could hear it, then I felt that I could stay. Am nursing here in the hospital, and on Sunday morning, much to my surprise, all down the halls, in room after room, I hear your program. It surely is a favorite, and you can really never, never know how many really do hear it and are blessed by it. Please remember Fairbanks in your prayers, and me personally, for it is very lonely here. And that is all I shall have time for today. Greetings, friends. A blind man writes from Texas. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Fuller, as I listened to your hour today, I felt that I must write you once more and express the love that I feel for your program. Two things bring light to my blind eyes, Isaiah 42:16 and the old-fashioned revival hour. There is a warmth and a glow about your hour which no other program seems to have, not even any other religious program, no matter how wonderful. It is as if that heavenly sunshine is propelled through the airwaves from the municipal auditorium to the four corners of the earth. Here in Texas, I can feel it emanating from any radio on which I hear your voice or the sweet, angelic music. The letters also give forth that same glow, whether they be from Emerald, Ireland, from snowy Saskatchewan, from noisy New York, or from cold Korea. Well, that is indeed a lovely letter, and we do appreciate the fact that this hour means so much to this man. We do pray earnestly that each program may meet the heart need of each person listening, no matter where that person may be, the need for salvation, the need for courage to press on, for greater faith and trust in God, for return to the Father's house, for much-needed comfort. From New York, dear Reverend Fuller, I am another one of those who has enjoyed the old-fashioned revival hour as long as I can remember and have never written you. Now I have 6 children, and I turn on the radio real loud every Sunday morning at 8, and it helps to wake the children up and sets a happy Sunday spirit in our home. But we cannot give real close attention until the afternoon, and so at 4 o'clock we gather round the radio and really enjoy the message and the music. A lady writes from Kansas, dear friends, my grandson, a Marine, gave his life in Korea on November the 8th. He went forward in your meeting to accept Christ as Savior last April and was shipped out on June the 8th. God bless you. From San Diego, this last letter, a man writes, dear brother and Mrs. Fuller, I was saved at the hour in Long Beach 1 year and 5 days ago and have since heard and enjoyed the wonderful music and preaching many times. I am a sailor stationed aboard ship, and when I first came aboard, I was a lost sinner. The day I was called back to active service, my precious Christian wife asked me to promise her that I would go to the old-fashioned revival hour if I was sent to the West Coast. Well, I was sent to the West Coast, and since I was so far away from my wife and children, I thought the least I could do was to fulfill my promise to them. Although at that time I fairly hated going to church. But I went anyway, and you know I was convicted and saved that day. Since then I've never missed a chance to come to the hour, or at least to hear it. As soon as I learned enough to explain the way of salvation, I began to tell my shipmates about our wonderful Savior and what he can do for a man. We now have a prayer meeting and Bible study class at least once a week here aboard ship. Although we are new Christians, we are learning fast and doing all we can for our Master. We always pray for the hour, and we ask you to please pray for us as we carry on here. Those are good letters. And that is all I shall have time for today, friends. Greetings, friends, from Canada. Dear Dr. Fuller, no doubt you hear from many pastors in your radio letters. I should like, as a pastor, to say just one thing. Some of us have no pastor. Our schedules do not allow us to hear other men preach. We rarely attend a service in which we do not have the major role. So for us, the old-fashioned revival hour is our church service, and you are our pastor. I like to think of your program that way as I listen each Sunday morning. Dear friends, we were visiting some of the boys in a prison last Sunday, and at 4 o'clock, one of the young fellows came into the visitor's room and said, "Excuse me, but would this bother you if I turn on this radio?" And one of the boys said no, and to my delight, he turned on the old-fashioned revival hour. They said they listened every Sunday, and I'm praying that some of them may be reached for Christ. From South Wales comes a good letter, though brief. Dear Brother Fuller, I am a young man, 27 years of age, and I work in the mines here in Wales. We all look forward to your service Thursday evenings, and since listening, I have been converted. Thank you, and God bless you. From Tompkins Cove, New York, dear Mr. Fuller, it has been over 6 years since I was converted as I sat by my radio and listened to your preaching, and these have been the happiest years of my life. I am the only one saved in my family, and I ask you to pray with me for my father and mother. A chaplain in an army camp in Alabama writes a good letter. He says in part, dear Dr. Fuller, from my many contacts in this camp, I can say that there are many men here who listen to you every opportunity they have, and they receive a wonderful blessing. A group gathers with me every Sunday, and it is just what the men need. It is like a bit of home and a great steadying force to these young men far from home. Dear Mr. Fuller, we are a middle-aged couple on a farm in Kansas. Our youngest son is over in Korea fighting, and we are pretty lonesome. We lost a son in the last war. It seems to us that the greatest comfort that we have is the old-fashioned revival hour, which we can always count on, no matter how stormy the weather may be. We look forward to it, and when we hear it, we feel the blessing of God on us, and our faith is renewed. The lovely songs and your messages from God's book just go to our hearts, and it seems that God is right here with us in our little farm home. Dear Dr. Fuller, life is so hard for many of us, and we have deep trials and heartaches, though our trials are not all the same. Many times God has used your text or portions of your sermon to lift me out of my suffering and despair, just as if you were preaching especially for my comfort and help. A few Sundays ago, when they sang, "God leads his dear children along," I sat by the radio and I thought, Dr. Fuller just doesn't know what a blessing that is to me, or how I needed it today. And it must be just as great a blessing to many others. God has his ways of meeting our needs, and he does use the old-fashioned revival hour for that purpose. That is all I shall have time for today, friends. Greetings, friends. Here is a letter, a good letter, from a man in Denmark. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Fuller, we are some friends in Denmark who hereby wish to thank you and your whole community for the splendid broadcast of the old-fashioned revival hour. We gladly sit up late to hear you and to be in your meeting. It is wonderful to feel the brotherhood of Jesus in spite of a foreign language and distance. Thanks for the fine music and your singers. Especially we like to hear your pianist. We know most of the tunes from our own meetings here in Denmark, and we understand the words. Please excuse my bad English. I hope you understand it in spite of that. That was a sweet letter. Dear friends, we have heard your broadcast all of the 27 years that you've been preaching, and can truthfully say it has helped us always, but especially over the rough places in our lives. Sometimes it seems when our hearts have been almost broken that the message and the lovely music was just for us, as though God intended it that way. Yes, yours is one of the programs that is always welcome, that we can always count on, and we pray it may keep coming. As we get older, We will need it more. Here is a good letter from a young corporal in Germany. He says they sometimes get the program very clearly and praying for the day when the Army will sponsor your program on the overseas stations. At present, we receive no evangelistic services of any type except when we can hear yours. But friends, do not fail to pray for our men in the armed forces. Do not neglect that. And God's special blessing on those servicemen out in the Philippines who found our program unexpectedly. And we thank God for what it meant to them and that they saw fit to write us so warmly. Dear Dr. Fuller, we are 7 pretty lonely, homesick Americans, as we are 7,500 miles from home. We are members of United States Naval Seabees Unit, stationed in the Philippine Islands. This afternoon, we had our radio tuned on, and we're listening to the music and talking of home and loved ones. But at 5 o'clock, when the program changed, we heard, for the first time since we have been out here, the old-fashioned revival hour. And words just can't express the joy and the comfort that that program brought to us. From now on, we will be looking forward to it. You are doing a great and wonderful work, and we wish to thank you right here and now. We get almost no religion out here, and we all know how much we need God and His guiding hand. And then this last very brief letter I want to read you is from a mother in Ohio who writes of her boy listening in Japan and being blessed. Dear Dr. Fuller, my son with a hospital group in Japan gets the hour by shortwave. He and another boy, both was Christians at one time, but have strayed from the straight and narrow way. And now my boy wants help. And he gets so much joy and help from listening to you. Please pray with us that he may find the peace with God that he needs and the help to go in God's way. That's sweet, isn't it? A mother's heart yearning for her son's spiritual well-being. And he's recognizing the fact that he needs God. And we certainly shall be praying with her for her boy. That is all for today, friends. Well, greetings, friends. And here is a good letter. Dear Brother Fuller, I am a Sioux Indian woman and desire your prayers for my people. I am in a place where I haven't any spiritual fellowship. But I listen to you, and I'm glad that Jesus saved my poor, unworthy soul. Your messages inspire me. Signed, Shining Eagle. She must have been educated in an Indian school, and I wonder where she first came in touch with the gospel. And hear this good letter, friends, which shows how the hour reaches out into unlikely places and reaches the ears and into the hearts of some who have had little chance for Bible teaching. A young mother is eager to have her child learn the songs of the faith. Dear Dr. Fuller, I listen to your program every Sunday. I am married to a band leader, and we travel quite a bit. All the guys in the band tease me for listening, and my husband doesn't understand religion. But when your program is over, and I think that he's forgotten all about your words, he asks me questions, and I answer him the best I can. I would like to know how I can obtain a songbook so I can sing the songs to our little boy. My husband is a singer, and he knows so many songs of the world. I've found I do not know very many church songs, but I want to learn them. God bless you and your program. Well, this letter warms our hearts, and we do welcome her to our vast audience most heartily. May they all come to love the songs of the Christian faith, and may the Holy Spirit be her teacher as she listens. May God bless this little lady, and we shall pray for her. Dear Dr. Fuller, shortly after dinner today, I was driving along in the deep fastness of the Everglades of Florida, the nearest house more than 50 miles away, and about the only sound you would expect to hear would be the wails of a banshee or the hoot of a horn owl. But lo and behold, I move the dial on my radio, and in comes your program, and what a difference in that vast silence. I never enjoyed a service more than this one. When I was 13 years old, I was converted, and I felt that my sins were forgiven. But gradually I drifted away from the churches and church people, And for more than 50 years, this went on until it was hearing one of your sermons that caused me to change my way of living. So I, in the quietness of my room, got down on my knees, looked up into the face of God, told him how sorry I was, asked him to forgive my sins, and that from then on I wanted to trust him and walk in his ways. And I want to do this until the end. And that is all I shall have time for today, friends. We've had some wonderful letters this week from all over the world. Some very, very warm, fine letters from Europe and from Britain. Dear Dr. Fuller, I am another who has listened for years to you and have wanted to write but never got around to it. I heard you at home as a child, and I'm now the wife of a wonderful man studying to prepare for the ministry, and we have two lovely children. But it was 13 years ago, last January the 15th, that I was saved listening to the old-fashioned revival hour after coming home from our own church. I remember it so vividly. As a result of my going to my dear mother and telling her of my desire and decision to follow Christ, she realized that she wasn't living as close as she could, and she got right with God. Later, my daddy came back to God, and then ours was such a happy family. Because of all this, in my memory, you can realize why the old-fashioned revival hour means such a lot to me. A man writes a good letter from a southwestern state, from the death row in prison, saying that he would like to have a letter from Mr. Fuller. He said, "A time has been set in which the law says that I must pay with my life. I know sin doesn't pay. I know its wages. But I also believe that the gift of God is eternal life. Surely you will not be offended if I write to you, Mr. Fuller. My past has been dark. I am 23 years of age, and I'm a young lad who has tasted of wild ways in the world. I sit here in my cell alone. Slowly the clock ticks away the hours and the moments that I have left, without one true friend in the world. Mr. Fuller, I've heard you preach. I know you're concerned about souls, about my soul, and I want you to pray for me, please. I would like to have a letter from you." Well, of course, a letter has gone to this man, and we do pray that his need has been met, his need of Christ. And this last letter is a good, thoughtful one from a lady whom I believe to be a Dutch person, a missionary in China, an ex-missionary in China, and a listener and friend of the old-fashioned revival hour. "Dear Reverend Fuller, this short, stuttering letter cannot tell you what a deep blessing we are receiving listening to your radio messages, and how we enjoyed them in China. How long? I don't know. A few years, probably 10. We were in Shanghai when we heard you for the first time. It was a beautiful, heart-searching message, and such lovely music. My heart was wide open, and I could not continue then to be a lukewarm Christian after I had heard. As a prodigal daughter, I got up and went to my father. Oh, I knew him. I already was his child, redeemed by the blood of Christ. But I followed him afar off. I asked him to give me an opportunity to serve him and to be his witness, and he answered my prayer and gave me this blessed opportunity. When the last world war came to China, what a comfort and joy it was to hear your dear voices from America. Now we had to leave China, and we chose to come to the USA. I was looking forward to meeting those wonderful Christians who sent so many missionaries to China. But when we attended the church we belonged to, we found it so modern that there was no place for the Bible as God's word. We were very unfortunate to see many such. And then we heard your radio program, and it gave us courage and joy, joy in the Lord. Now I know that in the USA are more than 7,000 of all the knees which have not bowed unto modernism. Praise the Lord. But your voice was first to encourage me to stay firm at the cross of Jesus, my Redeemer, and to keep the word of God pure in my testimonies. Thank you, dear brother, for your helping hand on the way to our Father's home. And that is all I shall have time for today, friends. Greetings, friend. I hardly know which letters to read to you today. We've rejoiced over letters from all over the world, and especially those reporting conversions in Britain, where ours seems to be one of the very few evangelical programs. But first I want to read a letter from Central California, from a mother who has listened to Mr. Fuller with her family for over 25 years, who received inspiration as a new Christian from some of his first sermons. And I hope you will not feel it is unfitting for me to say that this letter is truly a great tribute to my precious husband, as he is getting on in years and is lately more than a bit weary. To know that the memory of the first sermon she heard him preach has lingered with her, and that her fine family, all Christian, have been blessed through the years by the old-fashioned revival hour. As I read this letter again to Mr. Fuller this morning while preparing my letters for today, he sighed and said, "Yes, my work for God over these years has not been spectacular or as good as it might have been, but I have tried always to be faithful to the book." Let me read this lovely letter to you. "Dear Mr. Fuller, I wonder how many can remember what you preached many years ago. It was around 1923 that we piled our entire family into our Ford car and drove over to Placentia to hear you in your small church there. Afterwards, when you first went on the radio, we attended some of those broadcasts over a shoe store in Long Beach. But on that first Sunday in the little church, do you remember what you preached on? Squaring your life up with God's Word. And you made motions with your hands as if a building were in front of you. And you said, 'Is your life out of line? If so, square it up with the Word.' Yes, you were preaching on the Word and most intensely. I was around 30 in those days, a new Christian, and your sermons had great blessing for me. We have listened to you as a family through the years, prayed for you and your broadcast, and have helped to support the work. When the children were home, we all listened, I suppose, without a single lapse, and received the heart-to-heart talks regularly. Our son will graduate from seminary this June, and he wrote from New Jersey recently that he'd been hearing the hour and, quote, 'It reminds me of our Sunday afternoons at home,' end quote. Our daughter, who was a missionary in China, wrote from there, 'Whom do you suppose we heard over the radio today? Mr. Fuller, and it surely made us happy, like old times at home.' We have a forest ranger son in the north who listens to you now. Yes, you've had a great part in teaching our children and have been a blessing and a help to us through the years. My husband joins me in thanking God for the old-fashioned revival hour." Well, what encouragement and happiness a letter like that brings. And it reminds me that this mother took advantage of a force right at hand which helped her in bringing up her family. That is a responsibility that every mother has. For parenthood does bring great responsibility. This lady also mentions a daughter leaving in May for the Philippine Islands. Well, she has a rich reward in her Christian family who will rise up and call her blessed. Now briefly from Belfast, Ireland, from the superintendent of a railway mission there. "Dear Mr. Fuller, you'll be glad to know that men have been won to Christ by your messages over the wireless. I have heard testimonies given from the platform of our hall by men who have found Christ as Savior from hearing you. Perhaps this will inspire you to greater and more devoted service, dear brother. Never get weary as you hear the tramp, tramp of men day by day going out into a Christless eternity." A lady writes a touching letter from England. No name ever, remember that, no names given, no locality even, generally. I'll read you part of her letter. This is the last one. "Dear Dr. Fuller, I want to ask if you will help me. I listened quite by accident 2 weeks ago, and I've heard your following broadcasts intentionally. As a child, I sang the lovely hymns you sing, but I had forgotten them long ago, or at least I thought I had. But on that first Thursday night, I sang them again with you. And it seemed as if the years between had never been. I felt again the faith that I had lost. Lost so completely. Now I am so confused as to how to straighten things out. I have been arguing with myself for 2 hours since your broadcast ended at 12 midnight. Please, I ask you to pray for me. Well, we do pray for you, dear lady. And though our listeners have no idea who you are or where you are, I am sure God's Holy Spirit will lay your burdened soul on their hearts for prayer.
And again, the sweetest voice on the radio. I said it, honey. Go right ahead.
Greetings, friends. Some letters for you today. From southwestern Germany, a serviceman, one of our own boys, writes, just a young chap and rather lonesome, "Dear Reverend Fuller, when I was at home in Georgia, I listened to you every week, and then I was called into the Army a little over a year ago. For 9.5 months, I was in South Carolina, where I could hear every Sunday. And then we left for overseas, and I couldn't hear you until tonight. I was on duty and idly turning the radio dial around midnight, and was I surprised to hear your familiar music, and then your message. I surely did drink it in and enjoy every minute of it. It gave me just the spiritual uplift I need. I am a Christian, but I need prayer to overcome temptations. Keep up your good work, Mr. Fuller, for it means so much for a soldier far away from home to hear the wonderful message of our Lord like we used to hear at home." We had a letter this week from a lady in Switzerland who listens regularly to this program, and one from a man in northern Norway who speaks and reads English, but he does not write it. And so he wrote us a good letter in Norwegian, telling us how hungry he was for Christian fellowship until he happened on the old-fashioned revival hour, and since then it has been a great blessing to him. We had the letter translated. Good letter. The lady writes of the bright conversion of a young teenage lad in Ireland after the way of salvation was made plain in one of Mr. Fuller's messages. A missionary in the Kentucky mountains writes from his sickbed in the hospital. He says, "Dear Dr. Fuller, we came to work in the Kentucky mountains 10 years ago and opened the doors of our home to the homeless Kentucky mountain children and have about 35 boys and girls living with us now. We always gather around the radio each Sunday to hear the fine music of your hour and the rich Bible messages, which have meant so much to us all these years. I am hearing you today in the hospital because my wife bought a radio so that I would not have to miss one broadcast, but the others are all listening at home, and may God continue to bless your ministry." That is all I shall have time for today, friends. Greetings, friends, everywhere. My, what a fine audience we have here in Long Beach on this rainy Sunday. I should judge that there are over 3,000 persons here today. And they say Californians are awfully afraid of getting wet. But I think that most of you are not Californians, but are visitors, probably folks from about every state in the Union and from some foreign countries. And now for some letters. From Michigan, a lady writes of how she is aiding in sending the gospel out. She sent a picture of a very neat cottage surrounded by a garden, and she said, "We have a bus station and telegraph office here. I turn on your program and insist on quietness during the whole hour so that others may listen as well as ourselves. Dear Dr. Fuller, I'm with the United States Air Force in England, and before coming over here was at March Field in California. One Sunday morning I was walking down the pike in Long Beach, and a man handed me a card inviting me to come to your broadcast in the auditorium. I went in. You had a wonderful service, and I went forward to rededicate my life to Christ that day. I never shall be able to tell you how much the program has done for me. Over here we get you, and almost all the fellows sit and listen straight through." A short letter from Ireland. "Dear Dr. Fuller, I would like you to know how much we here in Annalong, in the shadow of the mountains of Mourne, appreciate the old-fashioned revival hour. I was convicted through the faithful preaching of our local pastor, but for a long time I could not take it in that I was saved. Satan kept telling me I was too bad for God to accept, and I was not happy. Then one night, going home from a meeting, a girlfriend asked me if I ever listened to the Luxembourg station on Thursday nights to your hour. Shortly after that, I did listen, and you were giving the invitation, and you said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And with tears of thanksgiving, I believed that God meant just what he said. And I was gloriously saved and am now happy. Everybody that hears you over here likes it because of the bright singing and Christ-exalting messages. It has been a great help to me on my heavenward journey. And may God bless all who take part. Then this last letter, dear Reverend Fuller, I must tell you of one of the men on our ship who went to your meeting with another sailor in Long Beach and was saved. And say, what a change. We tried before that to reach him, but he was hard and not a bit interested. He was a fine fellow in some ways, but he had been drinking some and was going the broad way when on shore leave. But that Sunday, the work in his heart and life was real. For he witnessed to just about everyone on the ship and told them that he went forward in Long Beach and accepted Christ. Now he comes to our Bible class and is a real help. There are only a few Christians on our ship, and we sure are thankful for this man. And that is all I shall have time for today, friends.